scripture lesson is from the book of Psalm. It is found in chapter 139, verses 1 through 6, and verses 13 through 16. This morning, I will be reading from the Message translation. God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there. Then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in. Oh yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. Now I was sculpted from how I was sculpted from nothing into something, like an open book. You watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Beautiful passage of scripture. Ah, oh, great, great, great. I thought you were going to end up putting it around this way. I'd stand this way. I was watching very carefully to see what went on. Oh, gosh. You perhaps have not met Dan Nagolian. I want you to meet him. Chaplain, United States Air Force, retired from the Alaska Command, and is here with his wife, Kathy, and they're living in the Fox Run area and playing with the praise band, and you may be seeing him more sooner than you think. And so we welcome he and Kathy to the community and to the congregation, to this family of Christ. Let's pray together. Lord God, we have a wonderful opportunity to be together this day to lift up your praises, to celebrate your presence among us, and to be enthralled and taken back by and enjoy your holy word, a word which throughout the ages has meant so much to your people in every climate and culture, in every geographical area. And in every phase of life, touch us with that holy word this day. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, I don't know if you know the name of Bishop T.D. Jakes. Yeah, some of you do. He is the founder and senior pastor of the 28,000-member Potter House. Just think, the day when this church becomes that big. 28,000 members. That's a whole city in itself. Of course, it's in Dallas, Texas, where I think today it may even be freezing. It was downright cold in Texas and in Florida. I think we ought to be glad to be in Colorado at this point in time. Bishop Jakes is honored as a preacher and a best-selling author and for his popular television ministries. And he's the kind of individual who sort of transcends culture and denomination and race with a message of hope and love and blessing. He's a dynamic personality. He's written a book that I've quoted from before. The title of it is catching. Mama Made a Difference is the title of the book. And in this particular book, he writes these words: I value the fact that my mother taught me to believe in myself. And he goes on to say, and I'm quoting him, one of the qualities I grew to appreciate in my mother over time was her sense of balance in life. It wasn't as if she was a perfectionist trying to be a superwoman and to juggle everything like she was the inspiration for Martha Stewart. No, not at all. No, she simply managed to be present in the midst of wherever she found herself, engaged by those around her, finally attuned to the leading of the Spirit and the timing of the Lord. My mother managed to display remarkable agility to facilitate the many roles required of her. And if we're talking about any mom, I think we would say the same thing. We marvel at their remarkable agility to facilitate the many roles required of them. Then he goes on to say this. Perhaps that is why I grew up not only knowing that God can do anything, but I can do anything too. Wow. That's terribly scriptural, isn't it? If you take a look at Philippians, the Apostle Paul reminding us of these words, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we all believed it? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we all believed it without hesitation? But we don't. We don't believe. We don't always believe that we can do anything or everything. Max Lucado writes these words from Fearless, for those of you who followed the book. We fear nothingness and insignificance. Those are heavy words. You get them? We fear nothingness and insignificance. We fear evaporation. We fear that in the last tabulation, we make no contribution to the final exam. We fear coming and going and no one knowing. He wasn't meaning to rhyme. It just happened that way. Pull out these words. I don't know if they grab you. They sure grabbed me. We fear nothingness. I had to study that one time. I had a senior class in philosophy. And you know what the book was? Jean Paul Sartre's book on being and nothingness. You know how empty nothingness is? It's about as empty as you can get. Nothingness. And words like evaporation, we fear evaporation. Gosh. And at the last tabulation, we make no contribution. We fear coming and going and no one knowing. I want somebody to know me. I want somebody to know I've been here. I want somebody to remember. I want someone to care. And for that reason, we crave attention from our spouses and our family members. We crave attention from the boss. We drop names in conversation to sort of put ourselves in a proper place and a proper perspective. How many of you have done that? You know you have. I've done it too. Yeah, remember the time when I was in Fredericksburg, Texas, and we had the MIAPOW emphasis, and I was on the dais with President Bush and Governor Bush at the same time. Well, that's pretty cool. And we like throwing names around because it gives us some identity. It gives us a feeling of belonging. It puts us in perspective. It makes us feel that we've not evaporated and that there is something more than nothingness about our lives as we relate to others and we tell you about them. We wear college rings on our fingers, put silicone in appropriate places, straighten our teeth, wear fashion jeans, get a hair implant, endure Botox injections, and support the right teams because we don't want to live empty lives and we want to be remembered. Oh, I am a graduate of, and we are proud of it. It gives me a place to belong. It gives me something to hold on to. And we play sports. We play sports to win, to score baskets, to get a goal, to make a touchdown, to beat the clock. We carry degrees, have titles, work for prominent positions like supervisor. Oh, we like the little edification there of those positions right around our name. Supervisor, county clerk, senator, dean, chief, queen, department head, regional director, owner. It gives me a place to belong. And when I have all this around me, you know, I am not nothing. I am somebody. And we have children. Ah, children. Ah, that secures our future. In one way or another, we have children, and they carry our names just as we carry their pictures. And some of us are so fortunate that we were so concerned about emptiness and loneliness and nothingness that we gave our children our names. Robert Shannon Leeds, Jr. A nom de plume. Ah, Jr. Ah, 37 years old. And he still signs his name, Jr. But he has a name. It's my name. Gives me a reason for being and living. Gives me something to relate to. I'm not a nobody. I'm senior. And I think he calls it old, which is really one and the same thing. Our children are on honor rolls and dean's list, or they play first chair in the orchestra. That's how we identify them. That's how we tell others about them. It's not just our child. It's our very special, bright child. The one who's the great singer, the great musician, the accomplished organist. Why? Because we want identity. We want to be somebody. I don't want to be forgotten. And I think we all are there. We don't want to be forgotten. You have soccer mom sticker on your van. And the names of your kids written in your will. And when they leave home, the emptiness, you endure sometimes more than you can stand. And many of you have been through that. Oh, gosh. You want to feel empty and you want to feel nothingness. It's when all of a sudden there's an emptiness and all you have is each other. And the kids have gone. And you feel it. We fear coming and going and no one knowing. Will anyone remember when I'm gone? Or will I just disappear? And then we hear the word of the Lord. I love it. Beautiful words. I think he could not have said a better thing. Now, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Just like in our day and time, the penny was the smallest coin. Two sparrows for a penny. Do I hear a bid? Going once, going twice, sold. Yet none of them will fall to the ground apart from your heavenly Father. And even the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than those sparrows. Matthew's Gospel. The bottom line is this. If God's goodness is so all-embracing that not even a sparrow drops from the sky without God knowing it, how much more important are you? So important that even down to the last detail, God knows the follicles of your head. The hairs on your head, amazing. Hair. We style hair, we cut hair, we color hair, but we don't count hair. Well, some of us do. God counts hair, and God knows the hair that I'm missing, but fortunately, God is not talking to you today about that. In today's scripture, David warmly praises the Lord in whom he stands of all. He is astounded about how thoroughly and intimately God knows him. It's just beyond his wildest imagination. And I'm quoting from the scripture. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know everything I'm going to say. Even before I start the sentence, I look behind me and you're there. I look ahead of me and you're there. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it. It's beyond my wildest dreams. And then David, he erupts in poetic majesty in this passage of scripture. Poetic majesty, that's the only way you can put it. He marvels at the God who created him. And this is what he says. Oh, yes. And you shaped me first inside and then out. You formed me in my mother's womb, body and soul. I am marvelously made. Sounds like one of those comedians. Marvelously made. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was sculptured from nothing into something like an open book. You watched me grow. That's the God who knows you and who knows me. Wow! David said, this is beyond my wildest imagination. Unlike Bishop T.D. Jakes, who grew up with a mother who taught him to believe in himself, Robert LaPaglia, a very successful software company executive, grew up with a negative core belief about himself. And many people have grown up, many of you have grown up that way. Everyone who knew his work was amazed at his abilities and told him so, but Robert could not believe them himself. He couldn't believe anything positive about himself. He experienced an overwhelming fear of failure every time he started a new project. Anxiety and depression were part of his life. Oh, he looked good on the surface, but underneath, he was in despair. They said he was great. His work was amazing. But Robert couldn't believe them in any way, shape, or form. And he told a story that summarized the source of his core belief. Now, some of you will say, I don't believe this. I don't know how in the world anything like this can be true. When he was a junior in high school, he had the opportunity to go on a mission trip to Peru. I want to go on a mission trip to Peru. And when we're done missioning, I want to go to Machu Picchu. I just learned to say those words. But they sound like a great place to visit. And if you've seen any travel logs, you know it's a great place to visit. Well, he was going on this mission trip to Peru with the youth group, and he asked his dad about it. And Dad promised Robert this very simple thing. If you get straight A's on your report card, I will pay for the cost of the trip minus any money that you earn during the course of the year. That sounds like a pretty good deal. A tough road to hoe for Robert. But anyway, if I get all those A's and I get some of the money, I'm going on that trip. Well, after a year of studying hard and raising support, Robert returned to his dad. You look at all that reporting all over the years, over the semester, and what did you find? Straight A's, 4.0, not bad. And money? He raised part of the money. Worked hard all during the year to raise it. Straight A's, got the money, ready to go. But his dad acted surprised. And in the end, refused to fulfill the end of the bargain. And Robert's friends left him behind as they went on the mission trip to Peru. And his father admitted this. I didn't think you'd ever be able to earn that much money, so I really had no intention of helping you in the first place. Robert's dad was acting out of his core belief that his son would never amount to anything. Max Lucado says we all fear that. We fear that we won't amount to anything and that we won't be remembered for having accomplished anything. Robert is not a unique individual. But after years of hearing the same message, he began to believe in himself and to work on it. And through counseling and prayer and practice and hard work, he began to see himself not as a hopeless failure, but as a successful businessman that God allowed him to become. And he did amount to something. God's core belief is this: you amount to everything. You are the most important thing in my life. Every one of you is unique and distinct, and you're loved and made and created, magnificently created by me. And I love you so much, I gave you my son as a sacrifice that you can not only live now, but live in eternity. That's how important you are. You can throw your shoulders back and hold your head up high because you have value that God has given you. You're not the sum of the degrees you have, the makeup you wear, the trophies you've won, the grades you achieved, the books you read, the jobs you perform, the stuff that you own, and even the amount of hair you have on your head. Your core value begins because you were body and soul marvelously made by a God who knows you, who knows every bone in your body and how you were sculpted out of nothing to be something very, very beautiful and amazing. God sees you and loves the you he sees. No one can take that away from you. If you remember nothing else from the scripture today, it is that you have been magnificently made, and no one can take that from you.